This is a presentation of First Baptist Orlando. David Youth is our pastor. We're located just off I-4 at John Young Parkway, exit 79 in Southwest Orlando. For information on upcoming worship services, other events, and our many ministry opportunities, we invite you to call the church office at 407-425-2555 or to visit our website, firstorlando.com. Now, enjoy this message from First Baptist Orlando.
Yeah. these young people who are leading worship on another part of the campus week in and week out. They helped us worship today, didn't they? Did a great job. Thank you. Wonderful. And I want to say thanks to the worship ministry and really to many of you, whether in preschool or children or the students or involved in a life group, or so many of you are doing what our worship ministry did this weekend, and that is you're investing in future leaders of local churches and ministries. And we have standing in front of us men and women in time who will be leading worship wherever God leads them on the planet. Okay? Let's give it up to them one more time. Okay? Thanks, gang. Wonderful. How many of you got your word for next year? Raise your hand. How many of you do not yet have your word? God bless your sin-sick, shriveled-up soul. What's the deal? Maybe you've had a year to get it. I gave you some pointers earlier. Take me up on it. Take the pastor up on it. Get a word. Get focus for next year. You know, what we saw here with the kids and what I called attention to, those of you that work in preschool and children and students, really in any sphere of ministry in life, the church, or it could be even where you work, it really, I think, led me to the word that God has put on my heart for the coming year in front of me, and that is the word invest. Invest. Now, if you and I were playing Scrabble, that's worth 9 points. It's really kind of a sucky word, to be honest with you. I mean, 9 points. One for the I, one for the N, four for the V, and one for E and S and T, okay? I prayed, and I tried to get God to give me a word with a Z and an X in it. I just didn't get anywhere. Just didn't get anywhere with it. So my word is invest. It's a verb. I tend to pick verbs because I'm very result action-oriented. It's about doing something. It's about action. It means to entrust. It means to empower, especially other people. It's what Jesus did. I mean, you go back in the early gospel records and you look at the life of Christ and the ministry that his life was all about. Early on, he began to pray. He began to watch and observe. And then he called, hand-selected as it were, a group of men that he believed in, that he passed on his wisdom, and they listened to him, showed him how to live the life that God would want all of us to live. He believed in them. He entrusted them. He gave them opportunity. And you and I are products of their influence even today. Look at your life. Look at your life. If you pause for a moment and begin to think about those in your sphere of relationships, beginning often with family, friends, peers, teachers, coaches, principals, co-workers, neighbors, bosses, you and I are all a product, without exception, all a product of others investing in us. I sat down and I began to just write a list as far back as I could remember. Went all the way back into elementary school and I began to just write a list. And there were three Bobs and some Mikes and some Kens and some Aubreys and a Marlin and a Steve. And it went on and on and on. And not to your surprise, I wrote down Jim Henry. I wrote down David Youth. They, like many, many others, believed in me, trusted me, let me fail and loved me anyways, gave me opportunity. They invested in me, just like many have invested in you. And as a result, we are who we are today. We're all a product of our relationships, good or bad. We're all a product of those. I want you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Find verse 14. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in front of you there in the back of the pew rack. I'm on page 830 and 831. This is a familiar story from the lips of Jesus. I have over the years, honestly, returned to it often, maybe more often than any other passage. And every time the Spirit of God leads me here, I find more for the journey. And we're going to look at this text, and I'm going to draw in a minute three truths about invest from the text. But I want to read it, and begins in verse 14. And I want to ask you to stand, if you don't mind, with me, and let me read this as you listen carefully or follow along in the Bible that you hold. Remember, Jesus is telling the story. For it, life, it is like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one, he gave 5 talents. To another, implied, he gave 2. And to another, he gave 1. To each, according to his ability. Then he went away. No command. No instruction. He invested and went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, invested them, and he made 5 talents more. So also, who had 2 talents went invested, made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. They have reckoning. They have accounting. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I've invested and made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have invested and made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of the master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew. That I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have scattered no seed. You knew that going in. Then you ought to have invested. You ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So, take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10. For to everyone who has, more will be given. And he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Cast the worthless servant into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Sober words about investing and failing to invest. You may be seated. If I were to take my comments in the next minutes and reduce them to one sentence. Reduce them to one sentence, it would be this. What we have, we are to invest in others for God. what we have. We are to invest in others for God, and God generously rewards. What we have, we ought to invest in others for Him. And He generously rewards. Three truths about invest from the passage. Number one, God richly invests in us. God richly invests in us. And we really had very little to do with a lot of His investment. I mean, look at the words in the text. Verse 14, it says, He entrusted. He entrusted. It's the only time that verb is used in all the New Testament. Verse 15, He gave. He gave 5 talents. And then the inference for the 2 and the 1 was He gave to them also. They received. Verse 16, 18, 20, 24. They received. They didn't earn it. They didn't deserve it. They were delivered. Verse 20, 22. And then, of course, in verse 27, invested. What did they do to deserve the investment? Nothing. It was all of God. It was all of His sovereign choice and grace. They didn't work for it, didn't earn it, didn't deserve it, didn't merit it. God, a God of grace and love and mercy, just basically says, here. Here. It's for you. Imagine you had a sum of money and you went to someone and you gave them that money, and then you return years later and the market has skyrocketed. You go in and you sit down with the person you invested with and sit down and say, hey, market's up, cashing in. And he looks at you and says, I didn't do anything. The market was down when you gave me the money, so I just held on to it. Here. Here's what you gave me. How would you feel? How about torqued? Disgusted? Give him a good old Christian pop? What do you mean? I gave you all that to invest and you didn't do anything with it? We would all be upset. You ever stop to think how God might feel? Because He invests so much more value in every one of us. I mean, think about God's investment. I mean, just a few, I guess it were, facts or truths about God's investment. First of all, God decides what we get. Now, we decide what we do with it. But God decides what we get. The text, read it carefully. We are His servants. It is His property. 9 times in 7 verses, He's called the master. Even the 1 talent guy who hid it said, you're master and this is your stuff. And that's all. We're not owners. We're stewards. Everything that you and I have has been entrusted and invested in us by God. The second truth that's important is we all get something. We all get something. We all get something. Now, I tried to come up with some kind of a visual that would help you. Now, I've got a tool chest up here. Do not be deceived. I have no idea how to use tools. I have a number of talents and abilities. My wife would say my leading one is sarcasm. But I do not have the ability to fix anything. I have the gift of breaking. I can break stuff easily. It just comes natural. But there are a number of things that, just think about it a bit, that we all get. All of us get. I mean, if this symbolizes Christ and who He is and what He did for us, every one of us, we come into a relationship with Christ, we get Him. The scripture often refers to the Holy Spirit as a dove. And when we become a Christian, God comes to live in us in the full person of the Holy Spirit. We don't get Him in installments. We don't get Him in pieces. We get all of Him. The only issue is whether or not we surrender all of us to Him. But all of us get the, not just Christ, the Holy Spirit. And then, you know, you've got there in your lap or in the pew rack in front of you one of the greatest treasures and resources that God's entrusted to every one of us that we don't pick up and read often enough. And with technology available, it's at your fingertips. And that's the God map, the road map for life and for living. Sometimes God entrusts some more to others. In case you don't recognize this, money. It's money. $10 bills. Sometimes God entrusts more to some than to others. One of the greatest resources God gives to us is this. This is the picture. It's a picture of relationships. As I said earlier, you and I are who we are today because of the people who have invested in our lives. The relationships that we have built, people who have believed in us and entrusted us. I mean, you think about all the resources that we have. I do need to call this, some folks, God gives greater IQ and they give greater educational opportunities. This is a diploma. Okay, now it says Harvard University, not mine. Don't laugh, not yours either, probably. Okay, not Danny's either. We could add ours together and multiply by 1,000, it wouldn't be ours. Okay? But, I mean, you begin to look at the opportunities and the resources, and it just goes on and on. I'm just trying to remind you and me, nobody was overlooked. No one got left out. Everyone gets something. Now, the text also teaches us we don't all get the same thing. One got 5, one got 2, one got 1, but they all got something. And the last fact that's in the text, he says that he gave to each according to his ability. Now, what we need to understand is this. No one knows us more perfectly than the one who made us, and that's God. Listen, God created us a long time before our parents produced us. We were never a surprise to God. He knows who we are, and he knows what we can manage. And what he does, he entrusts, he invests in us what he knows that we can manage. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't mismanage it, but he entrusts what he knows we can manage. And that's what he did with these guys. He knew what they could handle. God richly invests. Now, that's just a story here telling that. I got to thinking about Paul, who wrote half of our New Testament. And in one place in Ephesians 1, verse 3, Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." Anybody know the next phrase? "With every spiritual blessing." Oh, that's rich. That's rich. James 1, I think verse 17, "That every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights." And one of my favorites from the pen of Peter over in 2 Peter chapter 1, that his, says his divine power, God's divine power, has granted freely out of grace, has granted to us, listen, all things that pertain to life and to godliness. All that you need, all resourced, we are richly invested by God. We didn't deserve it or earn it or merit it. Truth number 2, God expects a good return on his investment. God expects a good return. Again, go back to the end of verse 15. "Then he went away." I mean, there were no instructions and no command about what to do with what had been invested. It's almost as if the scripture said, listen, it's just inherent. It's in the DNA. When you are entrusted, when you are invested, you do something with it. No instructions. And what happened? I mean, look at verse 16. The first guy, he went and he traded. Look at the second guy. He made more. Even the third guy did something with it and went and dug a hole. But he did something with it. You see, what Jesus is telling us here is, yes, God is richly invested in every one of us. But we have an option. We really have 2 choices. We can invest that which has been entrusted, or we can waste it. We do not decide what we get, but we do have a choice what we do with what we get. Two of the guys made the right choice, had invested, and one didn't. Now, as I look at my life and I look going forward in the coming year, this is kind of how it's pieced together for me. God has entrusted to me, as He has to you, specific abilities. My primary abilities are teaching and leading and challenging or exhorting folks. It's what I do. The fact that others do it differently or the fact that others do it better doesn't keep me up at night anymore. Okay? I want to take those abilities and then possessions, which are not just finances, but include that. Turn to Luke 16. Let me show you something. Luke 16:10. Powerful two verses here. Great application. Luke 16:10. Jesus says, "One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest or unfaithful in very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches?" That's a loaded passage. What he's saying is, listen, if you have only a little, you're a one talent or a two, and you've been given a little and you've not invested and managed that well, then why would God entrust to you more opportunity and invest in you more responsibility? I mean, you and I wouldn't even do that as parents and grandparents. Who would hand, their 10-year-old child or grandchild, "Hey, here's a $10 bill," and they go out and they waste it and they come back and say, "Hey, what'd you do with it?" "Well, I wasted it." "Oh, great, here's 20. Thanks." No, I wouldn't do that. No one would do that. We wouldn't waste it. And yet that's what this guy did, wasted it. You see, God wants me to understand that the true riches of life have nothing to do with wealth. Of all the things I put in here, only one had to do with really material issues, because that's not true riches. The true riches are these other investments made in our lives. And my aim, more than ever before in 2014, is to take these abilities and these possessions and invest them eternally. Stay with me. Jesus said, "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Jesus said, "Get rich toward God." How do you do that? If you take the talents and the abilities that God has invested in you, along with the other possessions as He's invested in you, and you invest those in others, you make an eternal investment. You know how I know that? Because there are only three things that are eternal: God, His Word, and people. And anytime you and I invest God, His Word, our abilities that He's given us, everything He's resources with, in other people, we are getting rich toward God and we're making an eternal investment by passing it on and investing. Here's what we need to know. Now hold on to this. It's a great principle. God never expects more out of us than He enables us to give. Let me say that again. God never expects more out of us than He enables us to give, but He does expect that. Let me illustrate. When my children were younger and they had no source of income, they would come to me for my birthday or, say, Christmas. And say, "Hey, Dad, your birthday's coming up. I don't have any money. I'm going to buy you a present. Will you give me some money?" So I reach my pocket and I give them a $5 bill. My birthday would come, or Christmas would come, and they would shove a gift in front of me, and I would open the gift and I would look at it. Do you think it went like this? "Stephanie, what is this? You can do better than this? Honey, I I'm your father. You got a bed to sleep in. You got food to eat. You got clothes to wear. You got transportation. You got a school to go to. And you give me this cheap $5 gift. Get a life. Do better. No parent would say that. She did what I enabled her to give, and I did not expect any more. Neither does God, but He does expect that. He has made an investment in us, and He expects a good return on His investment. We've got to pass it on. Some years ago, I don't remember how many years, 6 or 7 years ago, our youngest son, Justin, was quite an athlete. He was a big guy and he was fast. He played football, he played basketball for a while, he ran track. Football was his love. But I remember his senior year in high school, the regional track meet here held on our campus. And it was a 4x100. And Justin's a big boy. Okay, and he ran the final leg. He was the anchor on the 4x100. Now, in high school, to qualify for anything statewide, to qualify for state, is a huge endeavor. It's a huge endeavor with hundreds of schools across our state. And the top two teams in the 4x100 qualified to go to state. So I got at the finish line. Now, I couldn't, you know, I could see the first leg, and I could see less of the second, hardly any of the third, but I could see where Justin was for the last leg. But I wanted to be at the finish line, hoping that they would finish first or second. I remember the guns went off, and boy, our first leg took off and did well, and handed the baton to the second guy, and it went well, and then handed to the third leg, and knowing that it was coming to Justin, and we weren't in first, but I think we were a little bit behind first, but third and fourth was a little bit further behind, probably hard to catch up with one leg to go, and I knew Justin was fast. And I looked at that back stretch, and the only thing I remember was watching Justin bend over. Somewhere between the third leg and the fourth leg, the baton got dropped. They didn't go to state. I did two things. I got to Justin and tried to affirm him. Then I went to the track coach and said, I want that baton. I want that baton. And that baton is set on my desk since then. And will be on my desk when I retire or die. Because that baton reminds me every day that God has invested in me. And I am responsible to give Him a good return on His investment by passing the baton to others. And so are you. God richly invests in us. God expects a good return on His investment. And then the third truth is this: He rewards accordingly. He rewards accordingly. Two of them went out and invested that which had been entrusted to them. They really doubled what had been given to them. And God said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Now we'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your master. Isn't it interesting that they both got the same identical reward? They were commended. Then the other guy went and dug a hole, wasted it. You ever stop to think on what was the criteria of the evaluation? The master came to settle accounts. What was the basis for the judgment? Was it on what he had entrusted to them? No. It was what they did with what was entrusted to them. That was the criteria. It's not what we have. We get all hung up on that. It's what we do with what we have. God expects us to be wise and faithful stewards of what He has entrusted to us, because a day of accounting comes. Paul talked about in Romans 14, 1 Corinthians 3, and 2 Corinthians 5, that one day for believers in heaven, there is a judgment seat of Christ called the Bema. Every child of God will stand there. It's not about a heaven and hell issue. We're already in heaven. It's about an eternal assignment, responsibility issue. And what we need to keep in mind every day is that that eternal assignment is proportionate with what we did with the investment God gave to us while we were here on this earth. And we need to be wise and responsible stewards. You and I are both a product, as I said, of people who have invested in our lives. I got this past couple of weeks, I got a bunch of Christmas cards. And one was from Bobby. And you need to know the story. I was Bobby's youth pastor in the mid-70s. We had a Bible study at my house every Monday night. We had a huge, red, ugly red carpet room. And we were blessed with low economy and no furniture. So the kids would come to my house on Monday night and I'd do a Bible study. Bobby was a big old strapping football player at McGavock High School, one of the largest high schools in the state of Tennessee then. And the church was just right down the road. Bobby would show up at my house every Monday night, clueless, but disruptive. Okay? He couldn't keep his mouth shut. He was always causing issues. And I was convinced he's not paying any attention. Brother Jimmy, hey, this is Bobby Wells from Nashville, Murfreesboro. I went to Two Rivers Baptist Church and was a teenager when you were the minister of youth there. I wasn't sure where this was going at that point. I just wanted you to know that you were more of a blessing in my life and had a big influence. Just thanks for being there. Okay, that's being rich toward God. Then I got one from Lydia. Lydia worked at Disney back in the late 80s and 90s. Ended up leaving, going to law school, practiced law for a while. Got married really in her 40s, and they live up in North Carolina, she and her husband, John. And I got this one the day after Christmas. Jimmy and Linda, it's impossible to even address this card without remembering what an important part of my life you've been. Jimmy, I credit you for showing me how relevant Scripture is in daily living. You taught me the value of digging into it. I am still grateful for that. Here's what I want you to do. Two things. First of all, I want you to take some time to think about people who have invested in you. There's probably a list. I want you to take a thank you card on the back of the pew rack, or I want you to call them, or I want you to send them a text before midnight tonight. I challenge you to do that and tell them thanks while you can. On the screen, you're going to see two pictures. On the left is Kevin Hammock. Kevin died suddenly and unexpectedly at 52 years of age a couple of weeks ago. On the right, you'll see Ken Arnold. Ken Arnold stood at that door. Many of you came in week after week after week after week. He was an usher, was a deacon, Bible study leader. I'd known Kevin, they came to the church, I think in 99, Ken in 2000. Ken had lost his wife, frankly, tragically, and suddenly in the late 90s. These two men, for years, invested in this guy. They invested in me, gave me opportunity, encouraged me, believed in me, trusted me. I'm just glad that I can look back this morning. And even though they died suddenly and unexpectedly, and I didn't get a chance to say goodbye, you rarely do, I am grateful that I can look back and I know those two guys know that this guy really appreciated their investment in my life. I'm telling you, write that letter, make that call, send that text while you can. Second thing, ask yourself this question. Who am I deliberately and intentionally going to invest in the days ahead? Who? Who are you going to hand this to? You say, I got all the time in the world. You don't know that, and neither do I. Neither do I. Invest now. I don't know what your word will be. I do know my word more than ever before will be to invest. To invest what talents, abilities, and resources that God has sovereignly entrusted to me. Invest them in others for Him, and He will generously reward. I do know this, regardless of what your word is, this is a concept and a principle that all of us should seek to live. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. Lord, thank you for investing in us. Kind of humbled. You've had so much confidence in all of us. You've believed in all of us so much. You've resourced us with so much according to our ability. Thank you for being understanding. Thank you for being forgiving. Thank you for letting us have the next breath, which probably is an indication, more opportunity to get it right. Help us to do that. Today, Lord, today. Not tomorrow, not next week, not I intend to, I want to, I plan to. Not woulda, coulda, shoulda, but today. To say thanks, some way, somehow, to those who have invested in who we are today. And then help us, Lord, to be more intentional about investing in the lives of others. And there are so many simple, not time-consuming ways to do that if we'll just pay attention. Now listen. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, if you don't know for certain that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven, please let us talk with you. Just a minute, you can come forward or after the service, I'll give you some directions on where you can go. If you're here and you've moved to this community and you've got a membership and a life of a church somewhere where you came from, but God has brought you here, and if He continues to bring you to this place, it probably is an indication this is where He wants you to get engaged and involved. Come and let us talk to you about that. Maybe you want to come and use these steps, this altar as an altar, to do some personal business with God. Some of our pastors will be here. Let's sing and worship together.
Thank you for your interest in this message from First Baptist Orlando. We're located just off I-4 at John Young Parkway, exit 79 in Southwest Orlando. We have three distinctive worship opportunities each week, starting Saturday at 6:30 p.m. with Saturday Nights at First Orlando. Sundays start with a blended service at 9, featuring our choir and orchestra, followed at 10:45 by a contemporary-style service with our praise team and band. All three worship services feature the practical biblical messages of Pastor David Youth. And we have numerous other opportunities throughout the week for all ages. We'd love for you to join us at First Baptist Orlando. For information on upcoming worship services, other events, and our many ministry opportunities, we invite you to call the church office at 407-425-2555 or visit our website, firstorlando.com. Thanks again for listening.